Good morning. On Sunday, the 14th of February 2021, our two readings for today are from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 to 6, and the Gospel according to St. Mark chapter 9, verses 2 to 9. And I want to read 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 to 6, because it's a short reading. And Paul wrote 2 Corinthians 4, and he says, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." And I finish there because that's where the reading ends. But it's actually quite appropriate that that leads into the gospel reading from Mark chapter 9, which is talking about the transfiguration of Jesus. Talking about, just as it says there in the last verse, "For it is the God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." And my point is that Peter, James and John went up the mountain of transfiguration with Jesus, and they saw him shine, his face shine with the glory of God. And in a way, I want to look at this passage at the beginning at verse 3, but I'm going to do it, as it were, in reverse. So verse 6, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts." God commanded light in the very, very beginning, when all there was darkness. There was darkness and chaos that we read of in Genesis chapter 1. And God said, "Let there be light." And as I thought about this, and as I'm thinking about this, there only are two options. Everything is either dark or it is light. Now, we can talk about, especially at night time or coming into daytime, we talk about dusk. And we talk about the day coming. But it's either dark or it's light. And to be honest, if it's starting to get dark or it's starting to get light, it's actually still light. Because the light dispels the darkness. And it's only when the light of the sun has totally gone that you have total darkness. But any hint of light, you can see in the darkness. And actually, this is what happens whenever we drive our cars or our vehicles. As soon as you turn it on at night time, you turn the lights on. And the brightness of the light coming from the lamps or the headlights light up the path that you want to travel upon. And only light can do this. Darkness cannot dispel light. Darkness cannot consume light. Darkness cannot put light out. But in contrast, or in the exact opposite, light will totally dispel darkness. And even if that light is just from striking a match, the light that you can see from the match and from the flame of the match is enough to be able to get around a darkened room. Most of us have mobile phones, those of us who do have mobile phones, most of them nowadays are smartphones, and they all have a light on them. And the light is actually very powerful. And so light dispels darkness, but darkness cannot dispel light, which means the light is stronger than the darkness. And so verse 6 says, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." So when God said, let there be light, he was giving us the light, the knowledge of him seen in and through his son Jesus. And something I want to say here, I don't know whether people are reading their Bibles or not, but in verse 6 it says, for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. And God is a capital G. And I say this because back in verse 4, it tells us whose mind's the God of this age, and it's a small g. And I will come back to that because it's talking obviously about somebody different than Almighty God, God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, whom we love and know to be the only true God. So to start off with in verse 6, for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. This God, God our Father, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So then going back a verse, verse 5, Paul says, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. You see, anything that I do, the preaching, the sermons that I make, is for the glory of Jesus Christ. I don't preach Alan Capper. Now, I may use illustrations that I have or lessons in life that I've learnt or stories that I know of, but it's all to point to Jesus because it's all about Jesus. And so Paul is saying this here. We don't preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. And that term bondservant really means a slave. It's not about what I want. It's not about my will. But it is about his will, Jesus' will. And it is for his sake that we preach. It is for his sake and your sake that I preach this sermon. And of course, then it goes on into verse 6, for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. So we don't preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Because he's the one who has shone. He's the one who is the light of life within us. And he's the one that we're attracted to. So then going back, verse 4 actually comes in the middle of a sentence, so I'll read verses 3 and 4. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. And as I read this, thinking about what I was going to preach on, it reminded me of a passage that I'd sent in a devotional this week. And it's actually, I sent it out on Wednesday. And it was based on Matthew chapter 8, verse 28 to Matthew chapter 9 and verse 1. And the story that has been relayed in the Gospel of Matthew is the story of Jesus delivering two demon-possessed men. And in the story, if you turn to it and read it, Jesus came and helped the men, but the demons inside the men started talking to Jesus and really trying to challenge him, are you here to judge us now? And the demons pleaded with Jesus and asked to be sent into the pigs, the swine that were near the men. And Jesus said, yes, they could do that. And the demons came out of the two demon-possessed men, leaving them free and healed and in sound mind. And they went into the pigs, the swine. And the swine immediately ran down the cliff and went into the sea and perished. But there are other people there who witnessed this, and they went into the town, the city, of the people who looked after the swine, and they told them what had happened. And the people came out and they came to Jesus. And when they came to Jesus, they really didn't like what he had done. And they said, it says in verse 34 of chapter 8, it says, "And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they begged him to depart from their region." And as I said in the devotional this week, the reason why they begged him to leave is because their whole livelihood had gone down into the water and was dead. And in a very real way, they had nothing to show for their hard work. It was gone, destroyed, no payback. And they turned to Jesus and they said, "Leave, get out of here." And my point of the devotional was what it says in verse 1 of chapter 9. It says, "So he got into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own city." And the point I was making in the devotional was the word "so." The first word of verse 1, chapter 9. In other words, the people begged him to go, so he left. And I was saying about how terrible it is that some people don't want Jesus around. And I refer to that devotional because of what it says here in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4. But even if our gospel is veiled, and that means like a covering, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. You see, it is God's will that everybody is saved. But as I referred to, the God of this age is with a small g, and the God of this age is the devil. And whether we like it or not, whether we want to admit it or not, but the devil is blinding people to the truth of the gospel. God wants everybody to be saved, but everybody won't be saved. Even Jesus told us that everybody won't be saved, because he said, "Broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many will find it, and narrow is the road that leads to eternal life, and few will find it." Even though we know that God wants everyone to be saved, it's not going to happen, because people prefer to live in darkness. People prefer to hide things in their lives from the people around them. They can't be honest. And so Paul's saying here that our gospel is veiled, but it's not veiled to those who understand. It's veiled to those who are perishing. And so there are people who'll read this, and there may even be people listening to me now who really cannot understand what I'm saying. And it's not because I'm speaking plainly, because I am. And it's not because I'm using huge big words that they don't understand, because again, I'm not. All I'm doing is I'm preaching Jesus Christ. But because perhaps of choices that they have made, perhaps because they've gone running after other things, they've enabled the God of this age to blind them. And they cannot see. They cannot see. And what does this mean for us? It means that we continue to preach Christ Jesus the Lord. We don't preach ourselves. We point people to Jesus. We point people to God who is the light, to the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. We point to him, always to Jesus. And those who have ears to hear will hear. But equally as well, those who do not have ears to hear won't hear. Those who have eyes to see will see. But equally as well, those who do not have eyes to see will not see. And it doesn't mean that people are blind They don't have sight. That doesn't mean people are deaf. They don't hear, but they don't hear the gospel. They cannot hear the good news. And what this means for us, that I believe, is that we need to surround ourselves with people who are speaking the things of God, to build ourselves up in our most holy faith, to realize that this gospel is not veiled to us, but we can see clearly. But in the midst of seeing clearly that we are still bond servants of Jesus, and we still shine and show the light of Jesus in all that we do and say, and those who have ears to hear will hear, and those who have eyes to see will see. And we need to encourage those people to reach out to those people and to build them up. And those who don't have eyes to see and those who don't have ears to hear won't listen. And we need to just move on from them. And I know for some that will sound cruel and harsh, but it's exactly what this is talking about. It's exactly what this is talking about. For they cannot hear. And it's not our responsibility to try and persuade them and to change them and to make them. Because you can't. There's only one person that you can change, and that is yourself. There's only one person that Alan Capper can change, and that's Alan Capper. That's myself. I can allow God to change me and to mold me and to build me up. And I can say, yes, Lord, I want to grow more in you. But I can't change anybody else. Yes, I can encourage. Yes, I can do what the Lord has led me to do, which is to preach these sermons and to put them on WhatsApp and to put them on my website on www.alancapper.com. And anybody who clicks on that website or listens through the WhatsApps will be able to hear these sermons. And if they go on the website, they'll be able to see and to find the devotionals that I've written. Written because that's what God has told me to do. And I have no idea who listens to or who watches these. But that's not important. What's important is that I have done what I believe He has called me to do. And I will continue to do that. And in a similar way, you need to do what God is saying to you to do. To hear the gospel, obviously, first off, but to listen to His word and to follow in what He tells you to do. And there won't be many, there may not even perhaps be any who'll do what I'm doing. But whatever it is that God calls you to do, be faithful to Him and do it. So Paul says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In other words, it's not veiled to us, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe. Lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. That's the reason why the God of this age has blinded them. Because he doesn't want them coming into the light. Verse 5, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bond servants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts, he's shone in my heart, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That is good news. That is the gospel that I believe in. And that is the gospel that I encourage you to share, however God leads you to share it. However God leads you to share it. And for everyone, it will be different. It may look similar when if you compare notes with people, but for everyone, it will be different. Be faithful to your own calling and to what God has called you to do. and let the light of the glory of his gospel shine in the darkness. Shine in your life to dispel the darkness from around you. For Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.